Blog Talk Radio.
peace, everybody. This is Brother Eric. I hope all is well. This is the second episode of our Blog Talk Radio show. I am currently dealing with a little cold, and I'm going to try to stay hydrated. I'm keeping the voice real nice and even. We have a guest call-in number, so if you wanna talk, you got something to say, something to share, please dial 515-605-9885. Apologize the voice, but we're gonna get through this. Today's episode is focused on the contract, so. Yeah, this is actually, the contract is not the proper term. It is actually called a wages and working conditions agreement. So contract is not the correct legal term. If you want to shorten it, it would be agreement, an agreement between our unions. The unions that work at the CTA from various locals. It's the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 308, and the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 241. And part of our agreement is shared with the locals for the other so-called crafts. And the crafts are workers that specialize in electrical work, painting, carpentry, iron workers who make sure the bridge, the shear bolts are in good shape on that Wells Street Bridge. And we have some others as well. I'm not sure of those local numbers and how they represent. We've got plumbers. But this is actually not a contract. It is an agreement. And the purpose of the agreement has, I don't think it's ever changed for many years, at least since 2007. The purpose of the agreement is to provide the best and most satisfactory service to the public, to provide the best possible working conditions for the employees, at the same time having due regard for the economical operation of the authority's equipment. Excuse me, gotta keep that voice, the voice box lubricated with water. You know, I was supposed to do this last week and everything's happening and then I delayed it and then I said, oh, I gotta do it this week. And and then I'm sick. I'm like, well, no excuse, no excuse. Just, we gotta get it done. All right, so again, the article is really important. I want to read that one more time. It says, the purpose of this agreement is to provide the best and most satisfactory service to the public. So you look at that, it says to the public. So this is actually also an agreement with the public, okay? And I know sometimes we get a little, burned out, and sometimes we get frustrated because sometimes we have customers that are difficult to work with, and some of them give us a hard time. So, you know, we tend to not think of them as part of our job, except we just got to move them from point A to point B. But without them, we wouldn't have a job. And it is not a coincidence that they are the first entity mentioned in the first article of our agreement. And the second part is to provide the best possible working conditions for for the employees, at the same time having due regard for the economical operation of the equipment. So after the public comes the employees. And then after the employees comes the equipment, right? So you see how the levels of priority are, okay? But we, the employees, come after the public because we serve them. But the equipment comes after us. Okay, so yes, we have to operate the equipment with due regard, having due regard for the equipment. You gotta understand that's not the priority. The priority is the public, us, and the equipment. So when it comes to the situation we're dealing with a pandemic, it's safety first. It's safety first. The safety of the public is the safety of the workers, and the work safety of the workers is the safety of the public. Okay? So think about that. But let's get into this no-strike clause, because I've always heard about it, and I've been so curious about it. And one of the things I found was, a lot of times we say things that other people say, right? And we presume they're credible and they're you know, being truthful, right? But sometimes people don't know themselves and they're just repeating what they heard. So the best thing to do is to look is to look for the facts. And when they say there's a no strike clause in the contract, there is an article, there's a sentence, a side letter, there's something in that agreement, and I'm going to start to use now the proper term, agreement, that says so. And friends, sisters, brothers, I have been unable to find it. And I have made a text searchable version of it, and shared it online with others, and I've encouraged our union to utilize the text searchable one because it's easy for people to find information. But it doesn't exist. Excuse me. So, but where did they get that from? Where did they get that from? All right, so let's go through the contract, though, and see if could it have been extrapolated somehow, right? Was it something taken out, maybe, you know? So the best thing I could find, the closest thing I could find to a no-strike clause, is something in Article 2.6, and it's called the non-interference. This is a sub-article of Article 2, which deals with union recognition, okay? So 2.6 says the authority, that's the CTA, shall be at liberty at all times during the existence of this agreement and subject to provisions hereof to operate its property according to its best judgment and the orders of competent authority. Local 241 and 308 agree that neither will in any way interfere with or limit the right of the authority to discharge or discipline its employees covered by this agreement where sufficient cause can be shown, except for the membership in Local 241 and Local 308. So, here we have what's called non-interference. So sometimes what we do is we look at that, I've noticed, and then we stop right there. And then we say, we take one thing out, I've noticed, and we'll say local, we'll go to the second sentence, and we'll say local, the locals agree that neither will in any way interfere with or limit the right of the authority. And we stop. But it's really important, everybody, to read the whole thing. This is dictating specifically the limit, the right of the authority to discharge, to fire, or to discipline, or to punish, write you up. Its employees covered in this agreement when sufficient cause can be shown. Very important language there. Sufficient cause. Well, I don't like you. I'm just going to write you up. I'm going to find something. Oh, your shoes aren't shining. I'm going to write you up. All of a sudden, you got a whole bunch of write-ups. Okay? Is that sufficient cause? No, you grieve it, right? But why go through the grievance? Why not organize? Let the public know our employees are being harassed by a particular tyrannical person in charge. Because we tell the people in charge, hey, tell this person to back off. The authority says, well, there's a non-interference. Yeah, but you're not doing the same thing to everybody else. You seem to be harassing this person. So you're not interfering. You upholding the contract. Because when you go back to Article 1, it says the purpose of the agreement is to provide the best and most satisfactory. I'm sorry, let's just go right. To provide the best possible working conditions for the employees. So if the employee is constantly being harassed, how is that working conditions? So that really isn't a no-strike clause because there's nothing in there about protesting. So let's go back a little further. There's an article. Our union, Local 308, went ahead and did a strike authorization vote. And we made it, and it kind of just disappeared a little bit. And you look in the Chicago Tribune article for that strike back in 2017, and it quotes the CTA spokesman, Brian Steele. He says the strike would be illegal under state law, and the current collective bargaining agreement, which still applies even though it's expired. Franklin, our president, he happens to be our president right now, disagreed, noting the union has consulted lawyers on this issue. And I would add to that, we don't have to consult any lawyers, because when you go to Illinois state law, we go to the Illinois Public Labor Relations Act. It's known as 5 ILCS 315, general provisions. And you go to that act, and it's easy to find online. And I just had it up here, and I just closed it. Excuse me. I'm going to bring it back up. And so there we go. Let's see what it says about who can't strike. All right? Let's see. So when we go to Section 17, it says right to strike. Here's the Illinois law that apparently we forbids us as locals 241 and 308 to strike. It says nothing in this act shall make it will make it unlawful or make it an unfair labor practice for public employees other than security employees, as defined in Section 3P, peace officers, firefighters and paramedics employed by fire departments and fire protection districts to strike, except otherwise provided in this act. Public employees who are permitted to strike may only strike if the employees are represented by an exclusive bargaining rep, which is what we have, the collective bargaining agreement between the public employer and the public employees, if any, has expired, or the collective bargaining agreement does not prohibit the strike, and we have nothing in there that prohibits a strike. Public employees and the labor organizations have not mutually agreed to submit the disputed issues to final and binding arbitration. The exclusive representative has requested a mediator pursuant to Section 12 for the purpose of mediation or conciliation of a dispute between the public employer and the exclusive representative, and mediation has been used, and at least 5 days have elapsed after a notice of intent to strike has been given by the exclusive bargaining agent to the public employer. So when we go to Section 3P, because we want to say, are we part of 3P, right? Are we part of Section 3P? So got to go all the way up into the law. It's pretty long, but with the computers, it's easy to find. And didn't have this completely ready. I apologize. So I'm at Section 3 now. Going down. I'm at G. I'm going to go to P. And I had it here. I'm almost there. P. Security employee is an employee who is responsible for the supervision and control of inmates at correctional facilities. The term also includes non-security employees in bargaining units, having the majority of employees being responsible for the supervision and control of inmates at correctional institutions. Sisters and brothers, Illinois state law does not forbid us from striking. It's over. Now, you can say there's something hidden. Somebody's got something in a desk somewhere, in a filing cabinet, under their mattress, under a rock, but it doesn't exist. It's not in the agreement, so-called contract. It's not in the law, but people say it is, and then we believe it is. And you don't have to believe what people tell you. You can see for yourself. You can see for yourself. And I hope that this this little radio show enlightened you and helped you understand where this comes from, why people say it, and why you shouldn't just believe everything you hear. Let's see if there's anybody in the chat here. Okay, so we're just about over, and we're going to wrap up the show. Thanks so much for joining us. The next one, not sure what we'll do. So if you'd like, just send me a message, and we'll deal with it. Maybe we'll deal with this pandemic again. More information on that. Thank you so much, and we'll wrap it up. Just got a few seconds, a few minutes left. By the way, that song that we introduced, Roman Anthony, by Roman Anthony, is called "Hold On," and the speaker that you hear is Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we're going to close with some drumming from Senegal in Africa. This is Tabala Wolof from the Wolof people. This is a traditional type of drumming, and it's very spiritual. A good way to wrap up a very chaotic week that we've all been going through. Peace, everybody.